And on this day, I would like you to take a journey with me. Today, we are taking a trip from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. And we can see the city of Jerusalem in the distance. And soon we will be there. Outside of the city, we see a crowd. And they have gathered around a cross. And we, in our journey today, we shall end there. For we have something in our hands today, something that we wish to bring to the cross. In today's message, I wish us help us understand and to find out what is in our hands that we wish to bring there. What are we today on our journey to Jerusalem, are we going to bring to the cross of Jesus Christ? To find out, we will be in Exodus chapter 20. We'll begin in verse 3. I have 10 points, and then we will have a conclusion. Point 1, we are false worshipers. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. A holy God has given us his holy word. And here we are to see how we might hold up to his standard. The command is simple. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before the face of our God. And yet, are we not every day breaking this command? We are in love with the world. Even more so, we are in love with ourselves. How often am I quick to do what I want and not consider what God would have of me? God is not God of my life. I am God of my life. The world is seductive. It's alluring me with its comforts and its conveniences so that I would one day wake up worshiping myself in the mirror. We are adulterers to our God, for he loves us, and yet we find pleasure elsewhere. Who here among us could say they have merited the love of God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? More than this, we do not want to hear from him in his word. It's a chore. It's a task that we must do. We can often not testify with the psalmist. It's the word of God is not honey to our lips. It is not more fine. It's not more value than fine gold. And even still, not only do we not want to hear from him, we do not want to talk to him. How quickly, when we are troubled, we will go to a friend, we will go to a family member, we will go to our phones, to food. And yet, we will not take our troubles to God and talk to him. We do not give him our praise. We do not give him thanks through his name. We worship other gods. Point 2. We are idolaters, verses 4 through 6. You should not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. We do not need figures made of wood. We do not need temples full of statues. We have idols in our pockets. We have phones. We have TVs. We have laptops. We have sports. We have money. We take the good things that God has given us, he has blessed us with, and we turn them into objects of worship. We, like Israel, the gold that was given to them as they were freed from Egypt, we have taken the good gifts that God has given us, we have fashioned them into a calf to worship. We have our spouses to worship. We have our children, and they become our gods. We have houses. We have our cars. We have our health. We have so much to worship besides our God. And then we self-justify ourselves, thinking, we do not worship them. We are merely grateful for them until they are taken from us. And then we grumble. And then we complain. And then we are fearful. John Calvin is right in saying our hearts are idol factories. We are idolaters. Point three, we take the Lord's name in vain. Verse 7. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We take the Lord's name in vain with our lips. We say the Lord's name out loud in a way that belittles his glory. We take the Lord's name in vain with our life. We claim Christ. We call ourselves Christians. We wear cross necklaces. We wear bracelets that say WWJD. We have bumper stickers. We have t-shirts. We tell the world we belong to Christ. And yet with our very lives, we misrepresent him and belittle his name. How much of the world today blames and points to the witness of Christians to reject Christ, and then they themselves belittle God. With our words, with our actions, with our attitudes, we tell a message to the world. Our God is not great. He is not sovereign over all, and he is not worthy to be praised. And so, we take his name in vain. Point four, we do not rest. Verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, for the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you should not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. While what the Sabbath means for us New Testament believers is debated, it is evident to all in the New Testament Jesus Christ has fulfilled it. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He tells us to come to him and find rest for our souls. So I do not need to go further in what the fourth commandment requires of us every week, for I break the fourth commandment every day. For my soul is in need of rest. And yet we often neglect to go to Jesus to find it. I try to find comfort and rest elsewhere. Do we not find rest in our phones with endless scrolling and watching of videos? We find any way to entertain ourselves. I try to find rest for my soul on my couch in front of the TV. Instead, what I find of rest, I find I'm trying to escape reality. I try to find rest in my food. I overeat. I indulge, hoping that there I would find my comfort. I am thirsty, but I do not go to him to drink. I am hungry, and I do not go to him for food. I am naked, and I do not go for him for clothing. Instead, I take fig leaves, and I sew them together, and I try to cover myself. I do not go home to my Savior for rest. Instead, I walk around weary with no place to lay my head. I do not find rest. Point five, we do not honor our parents. This is in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. We are quick and have been quick to neglect our parents and what they ask of us. We reject the good authority that God has given and placed over us and our parents. And often as those closest to us and those who know us best are quickest to treat, we are quick to treat with contempt. We mock them, we scoff at them, we do not see them as people to be honored. We do not see them as gifts from God, but instead in our hearts, we belittle their importance, their significance, and then we take them for granted. And parents, how quickly are we to provoke our children to anger? How often we neglect to raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How often we do not raise them to love God and neighbor, and so we teach them and train them and often provoke our children to not honor their father and their mother. Point six, we are murderers. In verse 13, it says, you shall not murder. The Lord Jesus, he says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. You, like me, may say, I'm not a murderer, but are we not all liable to judgment? Are we not all liable to the hell of fire? Have we not all insulted? Have we not all in our heart lost our temper? Have we not said things that we are now ashamed of in our minds? Have we not all looked at people made in the image of God and thought so little of them that we became angry with them? Why? Because they inconvenience us. When we read in the beginning, are we not more like Cain than we are Abel? We are murderers. Point 7, we are adulterers. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. The Lord again tells us, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Hear, beloved, the power of the word of God, that every time he says, but I say to you, does he not take the sword of the Spirit to our heart, to every legalist and Pharisee? How many of us have looked at another, a person made in God's image, and treated them as if they were just an object? How many have belittled others with their actions and words or thoughts and have subjected another to a role where they might please us? Have we not lusted with our phones, with screens, with our eyes, with our thoughts? We are adulterers. Point 8, we are thieves. Verse 15, you shall not steal. We steal, we take, we steal money. We steal possessions. We steal from our jobs. We steal from our families. We steal from our friends. We steal time. We steal joy. And from God, we are the biggest thieves, for we steal his glory and we steal his honor. He owns everything, and yet we pretend as if our possessions are not his. We convince ourselves this is our money in our bank, that clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the food we eat, that they ultimately belong to us. We do not consider how the true owner might have wanted to use your possessions that are actually his. We keep them from ourselves and we do what we want because we are thieves. Point 9, we are liars. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We do not tell the truth. We lie to others. Daily, we conceal the truth from others. We exaggerate. We misremember and pretend to forget. We leave out information. We tell other things that make ourselves look better and to feel better, while we say things that make others look worse and feel worse. We are gossips. We are slanderers. We are divisive with our tongues. We sow disunity. Out of our mouth can come praises to God, and then out of our mouth comes to put down those who are made in his image. Our tongues are like fire. They are ready to bring destruction when we speak. And we lie about God. When the Spirit provokes us to share the good news of Jesus with others, we conceal the truth from them for our own selfish reasons and because of fear. We lie about the worth of God, as if God is not truly holy, as if we are not guilty sinners, as if Christ is not the only way for salvation, that hell is not real, and that he is not actually worthy of our praise, because we are liars. Point 10, we are covetous. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. We are greedy. We are full of envy. We are jealous. We long to be less like ourselves and more like others. We want a different job. We want different clothes. We want a different phone. We want possessions. We want a different house. We want a different spouse. We want different children. We are not content with what we have. We do not trust in God's sovereign plan. We believe the lies of our world, the lies of social media. We wish we could have what others have. We covet and cannot obtain. So we fight and we quarrel. We do not have because we do not ask. We ask and do not have. We do not receive because we ask wrongly to spend it on our own passions. We have fallen in love with the world and the things of this world, and we have laid up treasures here on earth. We are covetous. Hear me, friends. We are sinners. We are transgressors. We have sinned, we have transgressed, we have committed iniquity, we have committed trespasses, we are dirty, we are naked, our sins are like scarlet. We are guilty. We are shameful. We have not been gracious. We have not been loving. We have often been impatient, and we have lacked understanding. And we often think too much of ourselves and far too less of God. And we have been building up a debt, and that debt is much, an amount that is too large for us to count. And so if you remember, we are on a journey today. We have been walking together from Mount Sinai. We have been heading to Mount Zion. Once that city was a speck in the distance, but now we have arrived at our destination. And we find ourselves at the foot of the cross. And if you remember, we have been carrying something in our hands. We have been wishing to bring it here. We have been trying to figure out what it is, and now we know. We have brought in our hands our sin and our shame. We have brought our guilt. And there, the Son of God lays bare on the cross. We can hear his gasping. We hear his crying out. And what do we bring him? We bring him our sin. But friends, do not despair. Look, your Savior hanging on the cross, what does he do with your sin? What does he do with the wrath of God waiting for us all? What does he do with your shame and with your guilt? Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. What does the Word of God tell us? And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. How? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He takes our sin and he nails it to the cross, where we may carry it no more. There at the cross, Jesus is paying for your sins and mine. He is there because of me. As one Scottish poet noted, 'twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Of all that shouting multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that din of voices, rude, I recognize my own. Around the cross, the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan. And yet still my voice, it seems to be, as if I mocked alone. And so God pours out his full righteous anger reserved for us onto his Son, Jesus Christ. We have given him our shame. We have given him our sin. We have found ourselves at our end. Our Savior takes our gift on him. But to our surprise, he offers us something in return. He has a gift. At the cross, he wants to make an exchange. He takes our sin, and instead, he gives us something else. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us redemption. He has purchased us. We find at the cross reconciliation. We are given not our righteousness back. We are given his righteousness of the spotless lamb, not our own. We find there at the cross, he gives us true joy. At the cross, he gives us true peace. For what Christ has to offer us at the cross is himself in our place. We see it was our sin that held him on the cross, but not our sin alone. It was his love that kept him there. For God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. Friend, have you joined us this evening and have not placed your faith in Christ? Have you not turned yet from your sin? Have you not placed your faith completely in Jesus Christ that you may be saved? won't you make this journey with us today? Why would you wait any longer? Come, take your sin, bring your burdens, place them at the Savior's feet. There you will find forgiveness and freedom that this world simply cannot offer. He is at the cross. He is ready to take your sins and to give you his righteousness. All you must do is repent of your sin against him and place your life in the hands of the bloodstained hands of our Savior. Repent and believe in Jesus, and you can be saved today. Beloved, our journey today has been a bittersweet one. Our burden has been taken off of us. But we find ourselves at the foot of the cross where we can see how much our salvation cost. Today, this Friday, our journey has taken us to the cross. And now it takes us to a tomb where they bury our Savior. But another day, Sunday, is coming. And we will take one more journey. A journey to an empty tomb. For our Savior cannot stay dead. For death cannot hold him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Help us, Lord, to see again the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Awaken our hearts once more that we may see your glory in the cross of Jesus and in the empty tomb. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.